Track 6. The bench facing a handful of trees. We used to have picnics under those trees, my husband, me and the kids. I don't know why it was our favourite spot, but it was. It was my daughter, I think, Rosalind, who always wanted to set up the blanket here and take out the boiled eggs, the Hazlet sandwiches and the orange squash. We worked together for a while at Centre Parks. I was taking bookings, not cycling around the place like she was. I don't think people realised how big it was going to be when they first started talking about it, how many visitors they were expecting. 3,000 people. Larger than the village. There were busloads being brought in to work there. A lot of people moaned about it, how all these holidaymakers were coming into the village to use our chemists and our doctors. But people soon found a way to weave it into their daily lives, as the tarzan call drifted toward the village when the wave machine was on and the wind was in the right direction. Especially during bonfire season, when they had their firework displays every Wednesday and Sunday night, and everyone would go up to the car park at the Robin Hood pub to see them, with a bottle of pop and a bag of crisps for the kiddies. She always says she loved growing up here, and I always tell her it was a good place to bring up a child. How could it not be, with this on your doorstep? A place to get your hands dirty and your knees scraped. A place with trees to climb, apples to pick, treasure to be found. You didn't just go to the forest. You became part of it. A forest dweller. And it was very similar in many ways, my childhood and theirs. Especially with the army still being such a big part of the forest. During the Falklands War, you'd hear them practising manoeuvres, firing off machine guns, setting off flares. And there's still ammunition here to be found. My son used to collect cordite with his friends, even though they were all warned not to. He stopped it, mind. After mixing some in a tin with saltpetre to see what would happen, while the rest of us were out. We came home to find a 2-foot crater in the garage floor. And if we had military police patrolling the village when I was little, then that's what they were really, the police that were here during the miners' strike, whatever they tried to tell us. I've always been open to those who've come to the village. I've always understood that it's one of those places that are made in leaps and starts, driven on by groups of people arriving here and changing things. But when my daughter came home one night shaking, because a black Mariah had followed her and a friend back from a dance with their window wound down, calling out to them, I was spitting feathers. They thought they had a free pass to take advantage. Of us, forest folk who since ancient times have been given leave to gather underwood and to graze our pigs on acorns and beech nuts. Didn't they know who they were messing with? I remember it snowing one January, 1989 or 1990, I'm not sure which, and we had no power for a week. Tesco's doors weren't working, they couldn't shut. And people were helping themselves to the defrosted food in the freezers. There were candles in the pubs with people playing guitars and jacket potatoes being cooked in the fire, and no television. That was the last time the village really felt like that. When the Tesco doors started working again, that was when the future really came. Do you not know I am a woman? When I think, I must speak. It's that play again. I'm sorry. It was the first one I read, you see. the first Shakespeare play I took out of that library. It had these lovely illustrations. Rosalind was so beautiful, and I knew then somehow that that's what I would call any daughter I might have. Come on, let's keep moving. On to the bee tree, which you'll see on the left-hand side of the path. It's clearly marked, and there's a lovely bank of ferns to the right of it. When you get there, go to the next track.